Welcome to the first episode of the Blacklist Redemption AfterBuzz show. Leland Bray. That's all I got to say. Let's go.
Lord, help us all.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Get it, Joe.
I like when they make the beat real easy, and then you can be on it. So you don't have to be beat adjacent. You're still across the street from the beat.
Damn it!
I could watch this all day.
If you could walk to the beat,
if the beat introduced itself to me and then took my hand, maybe I'd be okay. Be like, oh,
maybe
that's
where there's an express line bus you can take to the beat.
You think so? Surprise face, you did.
Welcome to episode of the Blacklist Redemption After Show.
I love you.
For those of you who are tuning in for the first time to the Blacklist Redemption After Show and After Buzz, I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined, I will say as always, but for this first time, I'm joined by the lovely Julia Kearley.
Hello, here we are, redemption time, bros. What?
What's that? You gonna do a beer bong now?
I would love to. I bet you I still got it.
This redemption, mo effort!
I might have to do this show drunk.
I'm also joined by the lovely Joe Sanfilippo.
It's nice to be here with you guys.
We don't have a blacklist. If you're watching on YouTube, we don't have a blacklist redemption thingy yet.
We don't have it.
It still says the blacklist.
Well, it's still in the title.
But, you know.
It works.
Yeah, it'll work. We'll get there.
We're still in the blacklist universe.
We also are joined on the line by the lovely Jody Walker, who writes not only the blacklist regular, the blacklist, the original Blacklist recap on NEW, mm-hmm. but now writes the Blacklist Redemption recap on Entertainment Weekly. Jody, hello.
Oh, hello. I just do it all, don't I?
Yes. If there's anything with the Blacklist in the title, Jody's writing the recap.
I would say we should also add to Jody's moniker that she is definitely the ghostwriter on our show if she's not calling in, because I'm certain every week one of us at least steals something you've written that is funny. And pawns it off as our own.
It's all there for the taking. Just take it.
Let me steal this brilliant take Jody had.
That's great.
What does it say?
The gird your loins.
That's what I told you.
Gird your edible loins. Jody, you kill us.
Yes.
Your edible loins.
Okay. You know, I struggled over that a little bit if that was too aggressive of an opening line.
No, it's perfect.
I'm glad to hear you.
Spot on.
For those of you not aware of who Oedipus is, go to frickin' school. No, that's mean. I'm sorry, you're right. Oedipus marries his mother by accident, Jocasta. Eventually they all figure it out. Oedipus blinds himself, Jocasta kills herself. After Oedipus kills his father. It's a very deep, ugly thing, but it's worth looking up because that's a hell of an opening line.
Yes, it is.
Edible loins.
Also, it's also Julia Kearley's favorite card in Cards Against Humanity.
I do love an Oedipus complex card.
That's so good.
I save it all
every time
the
I
time.
Read Oedipus complex. I'm like, Julia. She's over there like giggling. Anyway, welcome to Blacklist Redemption After the Show.
That's game night.
That's game night soon. We're here. We finally made it to Blacklist colon Redemption.
Here we are.
There's no colon.
Did they drop the colon?
There's a colon right here.
Well, Jody put a colon in. I don't think it was wrong in real life.
I don't know, but I
think there's a colon. I think there's a colon too, Joe.
How could there not be?
I've been wrong before. It's happened.
Yeah. That's, I don't know.
These people, they have to get redeemed somehow. There's a colon. They're going to do it.
They need a colon.
So let's. I want to talk a little. Before we talk about the actual episode itself, I want to sort of get to how we got to Blacklist colon redemption. And I'm also curious from all of you, who's being redeemed and for what from? I still don't understand it. The promos, you know, seem to indicate that there's three blacklisters.
The worst blacklisters of all blacklister time.
The best three.
Who all
worst
just,
three.
One thing.
Redemption.
No one's even mentioned the word redemption.
I know.
No, no, no.
I don't get it.
I don't think it really is a thing. This is only first episode.
Well, true. You know, promos aren't written necessarily by the people who wrote the show. Promos are written by the promo department. So, you know, they might have... How do we sell this? We sell it this way.
Still... It still has
and
to
the
make
promo
sense.
Department gets the name of the show, and so they think that redemption is a big thing of it. But I will say that I thought that that was somewhere that I really enjoyed the premiere. I do think that it fell short in that aspect because that was something that was promoted a lot, and it doesn't. If you search hard, you can think about how everyone is potentially redeeming themselves,
right.
Particularly Tom. But no one else really seems to be looking for redemption in any way.
Yeah, Matthias Solomon certainly doesn't seem to be particularly redemptive.
He's like, yeah, I got it. It's like, it's a job. It's a living.
Yeah, that's it.
And I don't want any redemption out of him. I like him just the way he
Me
is.
Too.
I agree.
He's great.
I agree.
And what's my girl name? My girl's name?
Nez Rowan. Right?
She's the best, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's great. She's just badass.
Me.
I don't think she needs...
She can redeem
I don't
me
think
anytime.
She gives a shit about redemption. I think know. She just wants to kick ass.
The way I like it. I don't know what that means. Yes, I don't understand.
What is it? I'm here to kick ass, and what is it? Oh, damn. Never mind. I can't make the reference if I can't remember it from They Live.
Right.
I'm here to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Just you, Flippo. All right.
No, I know that, but that's not just from They Live. That's from everything.
Also, in the redemption vein, he hasn't even really joined Halcyon yet, so maybe once he officially joins in the next episode, we see in the promos Matthias Solomon saying, we take jobs that are morally questionable but justified. So maybe that's like the purpose
legally
of
Halcyon. Legally questionable, morally right?
Something like that.
Halcyon's all about,
like,
because we are getting them morally questionable. So
that's what I'm saying, that maybe that's
redemption.
What they do. They only do good stuff.
So Halcyon is essentially the A-team on steroids, and if you can find them.
Maybe they can rename themselves to Redemption Squad.
Redemption Squad. Emancipate us. No.
Oh, Jesus.
No good.
What voice was that you're doing?
That's Redemption Song. My man Bob Marley.
But you were doing Bob Marley?
I shouldn't have, but it was a joke. It sprang to mind.
Is that a Jamaican accent you were doing there?
It's terrible, wasn't it?
You got a lot of accents.
I apologize to everyone in Jamaica.
A lot of accents. Jamaica's
and
not
everyone
wonderful.
That's been to Jamaica.
To Jamaica.
We
that's exactly what they sounded like.
Completely digress. So, Blacklist Redemption. So, we're here. Now, I no, Janae, back to you. I'm sorry. I want to ask you, how did we... We're trying to talk about some of this connective tissue that got us from out of the Blacklist and into Redemption, because obviously we have three main characters that showed up in Blacklist. One is a star of Blacklist that are all crossing over into Redemption. Maybe it's walk us through. So we know that Scotty ran Halcyon. She was in an episode of Blacklist. Her right hand person is Nez, right?
Nez Rowan.
And then our man Solomon was a Blacklist contract operative,
yeah. mm-hmm.
contracted previously by who?
What's his name?
I can't remember.
Kirk.
Alexander Kirk. Who is now working for Halcyon as well. I don't know, Jody, am I getting this right? Like, how do these people all, where do they come from? If you're just tuning in.
Yeah, I think that's all right. Now, what I'm trying to fully remember is when Kirk contract Halcyon, or did he just contract Solomon? Because my assumption going into this redemption was that some of the redemption was for Halcyon in general, who has perhaps not always taken justifiable cases, like, for example, abducting a woman from her wedding in just the name of because a rich man wanted them to.
Right.
And murdering lots and lots of people.
Perhaps some of that redemption is that they are kind of operating on the straight and narrow, or at least working for somewhat straight and narrow companies like the CIA, and kind of doing the things that those companies need to have done but can't necessarily do themselves. And I was actually surprised that there was not really that much crossover from the Blacklist. It didn't bother me. I was just surprised that it really quite immediately after Lizzie was off the scene became its own show.
Right. That's right. And I'm also surprised. I kept at least having all these predictions as to how they would spin Tom off. We predicted like there'd be some sort of rift or schism between Tom and Lizzie, or something would go off the rails, or what about Spagnus? Is Spagnus going to die because she's going to go off for redemption? How is this all going to happen? And seems like he's just going to commute. He's going to commute from D.C.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's going to take the train.
Only an hour plane.
I have
train
a
over.
Friend in town in New York from D.C. right this second. It's not really that far away.
No, it's not.
I mean, Wrestle Navabi do it in 5 minutes every
episode.
Every episode.
How that could be.
Yeah, and they don't even have a jet.
I was going to say, they don't take 95. Whatever they do, it's different. You're on 95, right?
No, she's on train.
Yeah, 95.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, The super suburban. I do want to just take a moment to say hello to all of our folks who are watching and listening in our chat room live. Really appreciate you guys tuning in live for this. And a lot of them, most of them, say hello to you, Jody, Golden Toe, and Andrew Martin, and Sylvia Love, and Anna Pohora Saha, and they all say hello, Jody. Hi, Jody.
Well, hey guys, sweet. It's always so fun to talk to you.
There you are. So glad to have you guys all back. And so this episode, it, back to sort of the how this is going to work. This episode opens with a little special appearance by Lizzie Keene. Right?
I have a question.
Uh-oh, here we go.
About that first scene.
Yeah.
He gets a phone call from presumably his father's lawyers that say, "Hey, we have to talk to you about the will."
Now, today,
nobody knows that Tom is in any way related to Howard. Right?
Excellent.
To the Hargraves,
question.
Because not Christopher Hargrave, he's right. Tom Keen. Christopher Hargrave, they think, is missing or dead.
That's a really great point you made.
What the F?
No, wait, hold on. The call was from...
Yeah,
the...
I get that, but okay. Still, like, he was like, oh, well, they want to talk to me about my father's will.
No, wait a second.
Nobody knows.
Who's they?
Whoever they are. The lawyer. We don't know who they are.
His dad's lawyers. But nobody knows that you're Christopher Hargrave. Why would they think that you're connected to these people?
And if the lawyers call, why does Susan not know that this is all going on? Because it seems to me that Susan's
running
the lawyers.
Well, the lawyers obviously didn't call.
Obviously not.
It was Howard that called, who is presumed dead. But I'm saying, why
did... But does no one in the planet know?
No.
So you're saying Tom should be more alarmed. Jody?
Was that Tom took that to mean that, they have found this out. But that is doing a lot of narrative work as the viewer to make that leap.
But even Lizzie was like, oh, well, your dad was a millionaire. Maybe he left us some money. Like, no one was like, wait a second, who the hell is this?
This is suspicious. Yeah, some super spy family they are.
Right, am I crazy or am I missing something
here? I thought I heard Spagnus go, don't go, gaga. Goo goo. Spagnus is
you
the
guys,
one in the case.
Seriously, what the fuck, you guys?
I'm a baby.
Is no one thinking critically here?
I'm spy baby. All right. I don't know. That's a good point.
Right off the bat, I was like, oh, wait a second.
But Tom did go back into like.
Yeah, I agree. That was a shaky foot to start out on, and it didn't make a lot of sense.
It made zero sense to me.
Yeah. I mean,
what I let myself believe as I was writing the recap was that Tom was getting this call and thinking that they have now put the pieces together, that these lawyers have put the pieces together and realized that he is Christopher. And since he knows that he's Christopher, he doesn't ask a lot of questions and is just going to go figure it out.
Mm.
But I don't know if that's true because they didn't give me that information.
That takes a lot of soul searching.
Yeah.
I feel ya, but... Well, I was just mad from
his soul
from the
searching
jump,
only
though.
Took. Well, for Tom, his soul searching again only took. This is the other thing. After Tom, we saw the old sort of like kicking the rocks, orphan act from Tom. Like, I don't want to know my dad. And he did it again. The whole like, I'm not going. Stupid Will. I don't care. It's like, well, you gotta go.
We might get a new car and a vacay.
I guess I got this interview. I got this teacher interview to go to.
Oh, rough.
But so, he goes. All right.
He decides to go.
We'll move past it. I just had to say my piece.
He goes to New York where the cab... Again, I love the dominoes. That is to me, the absolute blacklist signature is that everything's going to line up just right. So as he gets off the plane at the airport, the first cab he gets into is the cab that he's supposed to get into.
Well.
Capouche. And we drop from there. And then we'll take you to the phones right here that are still working. That exists.
Right. You live in New York, Jody. I don't live in New York. How many payphones are still around?
Well, when you're walking on the sidewalks of New York, you try to ignore a good number of things. So it's possible that there are payphones that I'm just not noticing, but I've certainly never heard a payphone ring.
Right.
And
I've never seen everything.
There are a lot of payphone stalls because people do some unseemly things in
there. I was going to say.
Okay.
Like the last time. Last time I looked at a payphone, thought about a payphone, the smell coming off the payphone.
Ooh, yes.
That's not where that goes.
So here's one thing I have never done in the history of anything, and I'm old, is walk by a ringing cell phone. It's the ring stops me in my tracks. I look. Is that ringing? And I walk over and, hello?
But you're not a super secret spy, though.
Yeah.
That's and you didn't have the guy in
the
cab say,
it's for you.
It's for you.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so listen, I'll stop. We'll stop suspension of disbelief here.
There we go.
So, gets out of the cab, he gets on the phone. There is a cool, a very suspicious sounding man on the other end, mm-hmm. very nervous, conspiratorial sounding guy on the other end saying, you know, you've got to do what I say, meet me at the park.
You're Christopher Hargrave. You were abducted when you were 4. You ran away when you were 12.
Exactly.
You went to the major. He knows everything, has a picture,
knows everything. And so, yeah, so he does it. He meets him, and he gets there. And who is there but his dad? Papa.
His daddy.
His dad. Old Howard.
Howard under the trees, crazy as hell.
Yeah.
Yes. Played by the great Terry O'Quinn. Now, this is how you can class up a joint. See, when things seem absolutely ridiculous and implausible, you throw some great actors at it. You know, I mean, see Harry Potter or anything, you know, you throw some great actors at it and you're like, yeah, exactly. And so the second Terry O'Quinn showed up, I'm like, oh, okay, of course, this is going to all make sense. And in general, Terry O'Quinn, you know, Famke Janssen, all these folks, my man who plays Solomon, I can't ever pronounce his name, I can never pronounce his name. But all these guys are great. And so you have a great cast. Like, it can suspend your disbelief a long, long way.
Absolutely.
Or good actors, I should say. Which is what happens to us over in Blacklist with Lizzie, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So,
easy.
So Terry Quinn shows up. Terry O'Quinn, I'm sorry. Very happy to see Mr. Locke. And he then begins to explain, you know, sort of like the backstory that he thinks that his plane was downed by Scotty,
his own wife.
That's right, his own wife. And why?
To take control of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So she can be in charge of everything.
And
he's out.
To no good.
Right. As opposed to...
She had him declared incompetent, but kind of makes sense, because look how paranoid and skittish he is. He looked a little crazy.
Just because he was searching for a lost kid for 30 years, I will say I had a few questions about the timelines of, you know, people... He would say he never gave up on something, or she never gave up on something, but it's easy to forget that this kid has been missing for 30 years,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes they just kind of make it seem like it's been 5 years.
Do you know am I the only one that, when he went to his crash pad there, his safe house crash pad apartment, am I the only one going, 30 years? Wouldn't you have more red yarn up on the wall? Wouldn't you have more pictures?
I mean, I watch Homeland. I see what Carrie does.
I mean, shit, I've seen some of those boards. 30 years, I'd have some more yarn. That's all I'm saying. I think to the yarn store once.
Maybe we just saw a little piece.
Went to Joanne's like one time.
It's just one. Joanne's. It's just one thing. Hey, let's do that.
We're doing some work back here. All right.
We
got redemption. Hey,
I'm sorry. Yeah, if you're listening, we have a Blacklist redemption.
We're bona fide.
We're real. Ivan Soto wants to know I'm with Ivan. He's like, so Howard's crazy, right?
Howard's crazy.
Is he?
Ish. We don't know yet. He acts crazy.
Okay. What I do want to do, I want to go back to Scotty in that opening scene that we see, which I thought was kind of cool, with sort of Scotty doing her thing. They're building this sort of character affectation around her, mm-hmm. where she has to sort of be well. They did this in the crossover in the backdoor pilot, where she's having to rehearse and work.
What was her mantra?
Rubber baby bumpers.
Did it, Joe? Do it.
Rubber baby bumpy bumper. It was never the one I did.
You did.
I did black bugs bleed by blood, and we did. I'm a mother pheasant plucker. I pluck mother pheasants. I'm the meanest mother pheasant plucker ever plucked a mother pheasant. Go for it. Try it.
I never knew that one.
I don't know that one.
I'm a mother pheasant plucker. I pluck mother pheasants. I'm the meanest mother pheasant plucker ever plucked a mother pheasant. Try it.
No.
You're gonna say bad words.
Anyway, so we have this thing where she has her like her mantra, which is it more of a mantra? Is it more of a rehearsal?
It's a rehearsal. She's getting ready to
get
her to act.
She's getting into character.
But she was doing it at the grave at the end. So she was doing it before she psyched dude out on the plane, mm-hmm. the fake plane, and then she was doing it at the grave. I'm like, why are you rehearsing at the grave?
The fake plane was cool.
That was cool. That was a cool move.
That was cool, guys. Yeah. I liked that a lot.
The fake plane was cool.
That was a cool move.
Haven't seen that before. That's real.
So Scotty, like I thought that was very insightful into Scotty's character. I mean, we had that before. It's a person who is obviously a very powerful woman who is no nonsense, but has some sort of very deep insecurities about how she is presented, how she looks, or if she's actually up to the part, mm-hmm. which I think is a very interesting thing back there. And also that rubber baby buggy bumper thing is also a tell of some sorts, as we mm-hmm. get to maybe a tell when we got to the grave thing, but. It also makes us question, as does Tom, is this really a woman capable of is she really out for something larger? Because there's a level of vulnerability there with her that seems like she's really out to do the right thing. I don't know. Jody, what do you think? Do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that was, there were a few things that I thought the premiere really nailed. And one especially was making both of the parents, both Howard and Scotty, you know, really making you feel a different thing every time they were on screen. At first, it seems like Howard's totally crazy, and he's telling Tom to stay out of the trees, which is like classic crazy people talk. And then in the final scene, I thought he evoked a lot of empathy in someone who just cared about finding his son and seems to, you know, care about the world a little bit. He doesn't want Scotty out there with all this information. But then on the other side of that is that Scotty seems kind of like this ruthless leader, but then she also really seems to care about her son.
Right.
So, I, you know, for me, jury is still out on which one. It seems like you can only believe one, and I think the premiere did a good job putting them in opposition to each other, but not making you sure of which one you can really get behind.
Right.
I agree.
That's exactly where Tom is.
Which is a good way to start a show. And I think back to the whole casting issue, I think that casting thing, by casting Terry O'Quinn and Famke, like, it makes us as an audience want to have that inevitable meeting toward, you know, 'cause they can't know each other are alive. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least she can't know that he's alive. And Tom, that puts Tom in the middle. Mm-hmm. But at some point, maybe at the end of season one of Blacklist Redemption, or maybe later, they will all get to meet each other and know that they're alive. And that those fireworks are something that I'm already looking forward to in the pilot. So I think the pilot did a great job of sort of setting that world up. Also, speaking of the world, we get to see our friends back at Halcyon again. So we get to see Solomon and all those people at work. And my man, the tech dude.
Dumont.
Adrian Martinez,
who's great. He's always great in all the stuff that he does. But, thank you. All the great in all the stuff that he does. What I do like is what they seem to be doing, which is this, a lot of this sort of heist structure of every procedural. I mean, we don't have the straight procedural. Each one of these cases seems to be this sort of elaborate, Ocean's 11 meets Mission Impossible right. style heist, mm-hmm. which... it borrows heavily from both, especially the Ocean's 11, right down to the Steven Soderbergh. Right down to the Steven...
Total Sweeney Todd, guys.
Right down to the Steven Soderbergh sort of like split screen over the weird jazz, or split screen over the James Brown.
Oh, but it's fun.
Like, it's fun. But it's very like, you know, it's supposed to signify like, oh, there's a heist going on. It's split screen. There's a little James Brown in the background. Some stuff's happening. And then even further down the road with the Mission Impossible throwbacks, where they say a lot of like, this can't be done. This is absolutely impossible. This is uncrackable.
Can't be done.
Cue the music.
But have you heard of secret tunnels that nobody knows about?
Exactly. Have you heard of secret tunnels that no one's done about?
Breaking into a museum? I don't remember breaking into a museum being that hard. Like, I've been to a couple museums. I mean, I don't know.
Here, I say all that to say, because we're running out of time, is that but, I don't care, because, again, when the cast is good and you like the people you're watching,
and also,
none of that stuff matters. It doesn't matter.
They use really fun devices in all of their capers and heists. The whole pool dropping out from under the hot
awesome.
Swimmer, that
very
was
cool.
awesome. The whole sucking out all the oxygen but not tripping the alarm, that was awesome. The contact that's
awesome.
Whatchamacallit? That was awesome. Like, these are fun things that we don't really see on television very often. And,
I
like that.
I gotta say, as an audience member, I'm never a huge fan of the split screen, and I may be in the minority, but it fills me with anxiety, because I'm always like, shit, what am I missing? And I'm trying to watch four things at once.
Right.
And I get it for this episode, especially, because they're trying to do so much in the pilot, and they've got 42 minutes to get it all in.
Right.
I get it, but it builds anxiety for me.
I do like it. Just for Ivan, the clarification, it's a spy show, not a procedural. I do know it's a spy show. I think it's a pretty good spy show. What I mean by that is they use the heist construct as to go through each individual case. When I say by procedural, they still Blacklist Redemption still has a case of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a case of the week that they have to solve, but in this case, it's not a case of the week they have to solve. It's some sort of
it's a caper
mission,
of the week.
Caper of the week. That's what that's a procedural comparison I'm making. But I like all that stuff. I mean, Jody, are you okay with all the weird sort of heist rip-off stuff?
Yeah, and that was probably by far my favorite thing when I, you know, kind of walked away from the show and thought about it, is like, oh, I, you know, didn't really realize that a spy show was something that I was missing in my life.
Yeah.
But I like what they're doing here. And it was, I think, super smart on the part of Bokenkamp and crew to really, I mean, I guess if I had thought hard enough, I could have realized that. But, you know, The Blacklist is a show that's set within the world of the FBI, and that by nature makes it a much more serious show. It's still fun. It has Spader giving his monologues, and, you know, it's still fast-paced. But this show, it's a little lighter. I mean, it's still, yeah, like an orphaned kid looking for his parents who, like, you know, gave him up or fake murdered him or whatever when he was four. But it's just a lot lighter, and it's really... it's really fast. That's why I like the split screen. You know, it feels like if you miss a few steps, it's not going to mess you up.
Yeah.
And that kind of like builds a trust in this team, I think. And yeah, I found it to be really fun, and it makes me excited to watch it for 8 episodes.
And we also have some cool spy tech. We have the cool little ball thing they rolled in there, yeah, that's in the room. We've got, you know, so we've got all kinds of cool tech in there as well.
I will say there was a little bit too much exposition for me for how they're going to conduct each one of these little
part of the
things.
Contract.
I know, but
you
it just got
explain it to you.
They did like four different things, yeah, and I was just like,
first,
okay, I don't.
You
even
gotta
know
unlock
you're...
the door, then okay, you gotta walk in, then you gotta crack the safe. I mean, it's you know, it's the same.
You know, I watch it with the closed captioning on, because, you know, there's right, a lot of things that go past
got
me.
It.
But there was just so much mumbo jumbo jargon. I was like, eh.
Turn it off. I mean, you need that Xbox. You need exposition in there to be able to pull that stuff out. I want to say, so look, we're actually running short on time. Unfortunately, we got to get out of here soon. But I want to mention, like, so I think all the elements of the show work. I think we're happy here. We talk about the spy slash heist, you know, procedural construct. We like the idea of setting up the Tom in the middle with the dad on one side and the mom on the other. We like the team itself. Seems very they're very fun to watch, and there's some tension there between Solomon and Tom. That's always fun. A little brotherly kind of like tension there. We like that. The thing that I wonder about, that I don't like as a thread, and I hope they don't keep it, is how long are we going to do this thing of like Scotty and Tom, like Scotty kind of hitting on Tom?
I don't like it.
It makes me so uncomfortable.
Do I have to go every episode with Scotty hitting on Tom every episode and Oof. Him kind of shrugging his shoulders? Oof. Jody, are you okay with this?
I don't love it. No, I do not love it. Very, very uncomfortable to watch, and it's kind of something, you know, that like The Blacklist skirts with, like, because the overarching question, whether they want to get away from it or not, is Red Liz's father. But like, here we know that lady's his mother, like, unless something, and he knows, even if she wasn't his mother,
he thinks she's his mom.
Yeah. And like, yeah, that's messed up,
you know. Your Oedipus comparison is so apt. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the way that play is structured, nothing happens on stage. The Greeks were very careful about that. Right. Murder never happens on stage. Mayhem never happens on stage. It all happens off stage, and the character comes out and is like, you guys wouldn't believe how fucked up this is, the right, stuff that went on that we didn't show you.
Right.
And it's the same thing with Oedipus and Mom. You never see Oedipus and Jocasta hook up. You see them stand together stately, right, in front of the court, but you never really see... Oedipus grabbing up on Mom's thigh to pull off the card. That's not happening.
And that's the thing, because Famke Janssen is amazingly sexy and incredibly. I mean, Famke's sexy, Scotty's sexy. I mean, it's fantastic. So you want to see her be sexy and do sexy stuff,
but not
just
with
not
kid.
With her son. And by the way, Tom is sexy, Famke's sexy.
Right. I mean, you can't blame the woman. Like, she doesn't know that that's her kid.
Fair
and
enough.
Tom is hot. Like,
super.
You get where it's coming from. But
yeah.
For the audience, that's a tough blow.
So I hope
but
they all
like,
think
they
sort of
like
crack
really
that.
Like drove it home with the "you really know how to push my buttons."
Yeah,
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 get me out of here.
Yeah, that's okay. So, unfortunately, folks, this is all the time we have for Blacklist: Colon Redemption, the first episode. We're going to be able to get into a lot more of this as next week. But we have the season finale of Blacklist, so now we've moved on into Blacklist Redemption. This crew will be covering that from here on until Blacklist mm-hmm. comes back, and then we'll do some sort of crossover. We'll figure out how to do both. But that's all I got. We'll skip predictions. But Jody, where can the people find you? We have to wrap, unfortunately.
You can find me on Twitter @TheJodyWalker, and if you are into the Oedipal stuff, then you can also find me recapping Bates Motel at EW.com.
Speaking of Oedipal,
wait a GD minute.
You know that we do bass here.
We'll talk to you offline.
Oh, we got
to
talk offline because that's an amazing show.
Yeah. Anyway, Jody knew. Julia, where can the kids find you?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram with my name, Julia Carely, JULIACEARLEY, and here for Bates Motel and Blacklist Redemption.
Flippy.
Joe Flippo, JWEFLIPO on the Twitters, and we did Bates in the Blacklist.
Bates and Blacklist.
And yeah, and I'm Joe Braswell, @ Joe K. Braswell, Twitter and Instagram, and Bates Motel, Blacklist, and all that good stuff. Folks, thank you so much for Fantasy Stats Guru and Ivan and Andrea Martin and Watson Keen and Cassandra, all you folks in the chat room for joining us live. Thank you very much. We will see you next week for more Blacklist : Redemption. Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.